Hello, everyone. Welcome to this support technical exchange session. The topic for today is Introduction to Data Load and Basic Data Load Troubleshooting. Today's presenter is Dan Gino. Dan is a Level 2 Technical Support Specialist. He has been on the WebSphere Commerce team since 2012. In this time, he has taken on a leadership role in several areas, including data load and WebSphere Commerce search. At this time, I would like to turn the session over to Dan.
Thanks, Valerie. Slide number 2, please. So during this WST, I'd like to go over some of the things that I've noticed about data load in my time working with it that I feel would be really helpful towards the community. We're going to start off with a basic introduction to data load, including an introduction to the data load configuration files. These are just some basic nomenclature things and some basic configuration options that I've noticed can cause problems and I think are important to know. After this, we're going to go over some common data load errors, basic data load troubleshooting techniques, as well as some links that I've used in my learning of data load that I feel are very helpful to use and I'd like to share with the community. Slide number 3, please. So to start off, I'd like to just go into a brief introduction to data load. Slide number 4, please. So data load, it allows users to load very large amounts of information to an environment. It's often a customization point for users if they have a different back-end tooling than WebSphere Commerce tooling, or if they're planning on having a testing environment where they'd like to put data initially. It's also especially helpful like for different table values and for maintaining noun definitions across WebSphere Commerce, which are all important things to ensure that all of your data is correct before getting it into the Commerce database. Slide number 5, please. In terms of data load, many things that you are looking for are already configured for you. We have several configuration files that are available not only through the WebSphere Commerce Catalog Upload utility available through Management Center, but also there are several samples directories available throughout the product that have loader files for almost every type of data that's included in WebSphere Commerce. Towards the end of this presentation, I'm also going to include a list of locations of all of these files, so then you can take a look and check some of these samples. Slide number 6, please. Some of these samples include things like attachments, attribute dictionary attributes, catalog entries, categories, list prices, as well as inventory, ATP and non-ATP. All of this information, as I said, is included in every WebSphere Commerce installation, including the development package, so that then you can access all of this information no matter what level of commerce you're on. It'll all be configured for your level. Slide number 7, please. In addition to these loader files, you also have the option to use a table object mediator. We have some information that I'm going to share a link to once again towards the end of the presentation. It allows you to load data into any database table without having to create a custom mediator in Java. It's a very basic table-level mediator, and so you can have a custom table, the X warranty table or X inventory or whatever extension tables you want, and still use data load to load data into that table. It's also advantageous in that you don't have to do any Java troubleshooting. You don't have to include any logging in it. It's all pre-configured for you. It also has a second advantage that you can use it to load data to a database table and not use the primary key or unique index for that table, as you can actually configure these fields. So it's a very customizable loader that is available for data load. Slide number 8, please. So the next topic that I'd like to go into are the data load configuration files. Now, the reason why I'm including this in the data load WST is I intended this to be a very introductory WST, as well as the fact that I find that some very basic configuration options are often the source of problems for data load, or the source of a little bit of confusion, and that often when I'm troubleshooting data load, I'll find two or three configuration options that are incorrect, which are causing customer problems. Slide number 9, please. So to start off, I'm just going to list off, here are the four most important files that you'll see in every data load that takes place. There's the load order environment file, loader file, and the input data. slide number 10, please. As I said before, samples of these are readily available in every WebSphere Commerce installation. Inside the Commerce installation directory where you have the instances folder, you should see also a samples folder in that same directory. Inside samples data load and components foundation samples data load, you'll find many examples of how data load works, and you'll also find different kinds of data that you can load with data load. So if you're thinking, oh, I'd like to load some member data, there are member samples. If you're thinking I'd like to load catalog entry data, that there are samples for that. I also use these samples quite frequently when troubleshooting data load in terms of how is this loader file that I'm examining compared to an out-of-the-box loader file that is readily available. And after I compare these things, a lot of the time there will be differences, or I will notice something is off, and I'll be able to suggest a couple of changes that often solve the problems. Slide number 11, please. So the load order file is the first of the files, and it's paramount in the importance of data load, since if the load order file is misconfigured, if it's not available to the data load process, if the person doesn't have file permissions to it, if anything is misconfigured within it, it will cause the entire data load to fail. Often when you get an error code 3 in data load, which is a fatal error, this is file is the problem, as it will have significant configuration issues. As well, it's the only unique file in data load. This and the environment files are the only files that you only have one of per data load. Slide number 12, please. So this is what a typical load order file looks like. It has the environment configuration, the load order declaration, some properties of the load order, as well as load items and some possible properties of the load items. Slide number 13, please. So the first declaration that's important within this file is the data load environment file. Now, what the load order file is there to do is it's there to tie together the rest of the data load files. So it's going to have a list of all of your environment files, all of your loader files, and all of your input data. If you're missing anything in this file, it will not load. This is also the only single declaration that you're going to have in there. In a single load order file, almost everything else you can declare two or three times. You can have different parameters being specified for different load items. You can have several different load orders. You can have many different declarations, but you can only have one environment file. As well, you can use relative or absolute path declarations, but typically people will use a relative path declaration so then based upon the location of the load order file, they know where the rest of their data load files are. Slide number 14, please. So inside the load order file, there's of course the load order declaration. And this is where it gets its name from. The load order declaration tells you I'm going to have load items to load, but also what information do I need to know about that? So when I'm committing to the database, how many records will I go through before I declare a database commit? What size batches am I sending to the database? How many errors can I take? And you can set this max error again at the individual load item level, as well as what data load mode am I in? Obviously, all of these are very important configuration options. So another property that's important is the first two lines are header, which I'm actually going to go into a little bit further. But, of course, all of these options are something that are declared inside the load order file. Slide number 15, please. So within the load order, there are several load item declarations that you can declare. These load items, you can have separate load sequence values, and this load sequence values will tell you which order the load items are going to load in. Now, you can have as many load items or as few load items as you want within a load order file, but, of course, an empty load order declaration is not going to load anything, so you need to have at least one. Typically, when running data load, you should have data load mode as well set to replace. For all of your load items, but you can change that data load mode at a load item level. So all of the configuration properties for the load order file are like a global configuration, and then you can redeclare them as a config colon property within a load item, so then you can have load item specific configurations. Slide number 16, please. And the sample, and so then we're going to go into the data load environment file. Now, like I said, samples are an absolutely key part of data load. My favorite data load environment file is wc-dataload-env, which is readily available on every WebSphere Commerce installation at the aforementioned path. Now, this file is also a big part of data load in terms of it declares all of your database settings, it declares ID resolver settings, and it declares a couple of other file paths that are important for data load to work properly. As mentioned in almost everywhere in WebSphere Commerce, all passwords used should be encrypted using your merchant key. Slide number 17, please. So here's what a typical data load environment file looks like. As you can see, we have a few things. We have the business context declared. We have a database declaration. We also have ID resolver cache size. And then we've got a data writer declaration. Typically, this data writer shouldn't be changed unless you've got a custom JDBC data writer. And all the rest of the config options we'll go into a little bit further. Slide number 18, please. So the business context declaration. As many of you know, on the WebSphere Commerce storefront, we keep something called the business context. And what the business context contains is things like your store information, your current currency, your current language ID, your current catalog, all of these things that we use on a regular basis that don't need to be re-resolved for every piece of information and that are always going to be a constant. Dataload does something very similar with very similar business context. This is a separate business context from the one on the storefront, but it will still be populated with a lot of the same data, as you can see. This is the store that I'm loading to. This is the catalog that I'm loading with. This is the language ID being used. This is the currency being used. All of these are things that I don't want to be declaring for every individual line of my data load file, or I don't want to be setting a fixed value in my loader. I just want to know that all of the data that I'm loading is going to the right location, and this will help me do that. It can also be used for the table object mediator to directly populate columns. By declaring that the store identifier from business context is going to be used for a particular column. And once again, that can be seen very readily in some of the samples. Slide number 19, please. Now, database connection settings. In that wc-dataload-env file that I declared that I indicated a couple of slides ago, that actually has all of your basic database connection settings, which is something that's very easy to use about data load. So, when you first open up that file, if you've never touched it before, you'll have these three database declarations. Within data load, you only actually need one declaration, and if you've got several uncommented declarations, it's going to use the first. So it's very important that if you're not using the out-of-the-box Derby database for Toolkit, that you comment that out. I've seen a couple of times where users won't have that commented out. They're having database connection issues. And I'll just have to take that out. If you have a permanent database that you're always going to be loading to, you should actually just take out the rest of the database declarations and just keep the one for your database. And as I said before, you can have multiple of these config tags, but you should only actually have one per environment file. They also include all of the information that you need to connect to your database. As you can see, you've got database name, user password, what server is this on, what port am I connecting on, is there a particular schema. For the Oracle database, you need to declare the type as well as with DB2. And for the Oracle database, even though it says DB driver type, sometimes that can have issues, so try to just keep it on the DB driver type thing. And slide number 20, please. So the next declaration that shows up inside the environment file is the data writer and ID resolver cache. Now, the ID resolver cache is the source of a couple of things that can potentially go wrong with data load. And it's a very important piece of how data load performance is going to come out. So what the ID resolver cache is when data load is going to write to a table, it will first create the ID resolver cache of that table, if available, where it will try to get as many IDs out of the table as it can up to the maximum table size. Now, if all of that fits within the ID resolver cache, it's going to cache all of these things. If I'm loading 10 database entries to my 25 million catalog entry table, then chances are I want to turn off my ID resolver cache. because I'm going to spend a lot of time getting all of the IDs back from the catalog entry table when I only needed 25, as opposed to if I have a nearly empty database but I want to load 25 million entries to it, chances are I want to pre-resolve my IDs so that I can always be locally checking the IDs that I've currently used and that I need to use, so then I will have slightly faster database performance. There are also some documents on the Info Center that I have links to at the end of this presentation that provide a little bit more information on how to tune your ID Resolver cache for your daily or weekly data load. And then, of course, the JDBC writer is for all of your database connection parameters, handling database transaction options. Like I had mentioned, this is probably not something that you should be configuring unless you're an advanced user. Slide 21, please. So the next configuration file that shows up in Dataload is, of course, the loader file. Now, here are a couple of locations of loader files. The third is actually the location of the catalog upload loader files for the majority of your different catalog tasks. This file includes the map between the input data and the noun definition, as well as some mediator information. Typically, the logical noun is going to be predefined. Not many people are declaring logical nouns or creating custom XPaths for their loader files. And once again, that's typically something that only advanced users should be doing. Slide 22, please. So the parts of this loader file that are most often related to errors specifically are data reader properties, the business object mediator, as well as the business object mediator properties. Slide number 23, please. So within the data reader, it's used for this first two lines of header parameter. Now, I mentioned before when we were talking about the load order file how this first two lines of header parameter works. So there are three combinations of the first two lines of a header parameter that show up that I've seen cause significant amounts of issues. First two lines of header is true. First line is header is true. And this is something within that data reader declaration at the top of the load order file. First two lines of header is false, first line is header is true, and then the first two lines of header is false, and first line is header is false. Now that use header as column name is a separate parameter that's going to be dependent on how these two are declared in order to function properly. Slide number 24, please. So here's an example of sort of how these configuration options will look inside your input CSV data. These parameters are specific to the CSV reader and won't actually be used as part of the configuration for the XML reader. So this is a more specific scenario for you. So first two lines are header is true and first line is header is true, whether or not we're using header as column name. As you can see, we'll have the first two lines are actually headers. So that parameter is going to ignore the absolute top line and not the second line. That first line is header is true is actually going to be specifically ignoring whatever the first two lines or header is true has not ignored. And then the use header as column name parameter, what that can do is that it can actually use these column names, part number, type, parent part number, as the columns for your data mappings within the loader file. Now our second declaration here, you can distinctly see the difference from that first two lines of your header parameter being declared to false. Now, if first two lines of header is true and first line is header is false, that's going to still ignore the first two lines. But if first two lines of header is false and first line is header is true, it's only going to ignore the first line. So, and then you can see here's what a CSV header declaration would look like if you've got first line is header is true. Once again, you can use these headers as column names, and that's pre-configured in some of the samples loader files. And then, as you can also see, if you declare both of these as false, then you're going to have use header as column name also has to be false. If you set this to true, you can't use the column names as headers. You're just going to encounter errors. This is only going to be input data. Once again, we do have samples that include this type of declaration. Slide number 25, please. The second major thing that causes problems is the data load mediator. Now, the mediator is where all the magic of data load happens. It takes all of the information that you've put into the logical noun and it puts it directly into the database. Now, using the wrong mediator can cause errors, correct output data. It can cause unexpected exceptions that you just are strange to you. And that's something that's very important when you're coming into data load, is you kind of want to know what you're looking at before you're looking at the error. These problems can also show up, and they're typically corrected, once again, going back to the samples. And I can't stress this enough. If you're working with data load and you can find a sample of what you're trying to do, it will make your job 100 times easier. Slide number 26, please. The final common problem that I found with the loader file is actually the mediator properties. Now, some mediators have custom properties that are available for use. Things like for catalog entry mediator, I can synchronize loading a catalog entry relationship to a group across all of the sales catalogs that this group exists in. And that's something that a lot of users will get a lot of benefit out of, is that, okay, I want to load catalog entries to my master catalog, but then I want to make sure that I'm actually getting these relationships into all of my sales catalogs. And these mediators have properties like that. They can validate particular catalogs. In some cases, they're validating logical nouns, or they're validating some of the database data before they're checking it, so that then you can quickly and easily detect errors with your data. Every day we're always working with new mediators. We're always working to ensure that the mediators are going to have these options available, and it's important that checking up with the current version of the samples or the current catalog upload files, make sure that your mediator configuration is correct, is something that you also do regularly every time that you upgrade fixed packs, because data load is all fixed pack code. Slide number 27, please. And then the final piece of data load data is the input data. Now, the input data always needs to match the loader file. I cannot stress how important this is. If your input data, if the headers are off, if it's got too few or too many columns, anything like that, it's not going to match your loader file, and that can cause unexpected data handling by the loader file. So it's important that you always make sure to match your input data to the loader file. And you can see, once again, examples of this are readily available in the samples files. Currently, as of Feature Pack 6, we support XML and CSV inputs. That means that as of Feature Pack 6, data load is a complete replacement to Massload, and it's not something, and Massload is not something that you'll need to be using anymore. You are also, once again, able to create custom reader files to support other file formats, but this is not something that's typically done and should only be done by advanced users. Now, a custom reader would be able to take like a .bat file or a PDF file or any other type of file format and convert that type of file into data load input, but it's not something that we typically see, and it should definitely only be done by users who are already very comfortable with how data load works. Slide number 28, please. So now I'd like to go into common data load problems. These are things that I see every day that I feel are relatively easy to troubleshoot. They'll have just a couple of steps to go through, a couple of things to check, and can very easily be resolved if you check these different locations, a couple of info center links, or a couple of common causes of these problems. Slide number 29, please. So I'm going to go into, I have five common data load problems that I'd like to go over. Database errors. You see them all over with data load. When data load encounters one of these errors, there are a common set of problems for this. Connection issues. Once again, there's very easy troubleshooting steps. Unexpected additional records. The same records loaded twice for your data load. I've seen this many times, especially with a couple of logical nouns that I'll be mentioning on those slides. Out-of-memory exceptions. Very easy to work with data load. And once again, specifically list prices are missing in Management Center after data loading list price data. I've come across this particular issue at least 20 or 30 times because it's very common for users to run into this when they're first coming into their data load, they're first implementing it, and they're just getting comfortable with the ropes. So hopefully this will help to get you a little bit further than that. Slide 30, please. For database errors, I see database errors with data load very regularly, but there are a couple of errors that I come across very specifically all the time. They're the 204, 205, and 206, which are variations on object not found. So that's column not found, table not found, and I believe index not found, as well as with the error code 803, which is a unique key exception. Slide 31, please. So, the object not found declarations. Typically, this occurs when data load is out of sync with the database. If you just enable the feature, you just added your feature pack, or something has gone wrong with any of your feature enablements, this can cause your data loads to be expecting database information that isn't there. Now, because fixed packs and feature packs are cumulative, it's always going to be that your next fixed pack or feature pack wasn't installed correctly, and never that there was an issue with the previous one. As well, during rollback of fixed pack, typically, unless you're rolling back your full database, you should still maintain all of that database information, and data load should still be able to load to it. And then the easy solution, check your enablement logs for any evidence that errors were encountered, specifically looking for any SQL information that was adjusting the database data. If the data load is pointed at a solar table, ensure that the table exists in the database and that the solar is correctly enabled. All of these are just important little steps to go through. As well, check on your database connection settings. In some cases, if you just copied these data load files from another environment, it's possible that you missed updating the database connection settings. Slide number 32, please. Now, the second common data load problem that I encounter is the error 803. The error 803 exception can often come up as a result of missing unique index information. Now, data load is running off of either the primary key or the unique index for all of the data that it loads for the base table for that particular noun. So for something like the catalog entry noun, primary key is going to be the cat entry ID, and the unique index is going to be the member ID and the part number for that catalog entry. Often this can come up when data load if there's any white space parsing or anything like that. As well, ensure that all of the components of the unique index or the primary key are specified in your data load input data, and make sure that your data load mode is on replace. If your data load mode is on insert, it's just going to attempt to create a new entry with that unique index data, and that can cause database collisions, which will throw an error 803. Slide number 33, please. As well, database connection issues are a common data load problem. Incorrect database information or missing drivers are the two most common causes of data load database connection issues. And this, you just go right into the data load environment file and check. Do I have all of my database connection information specified correctly? As well, if I go into my Webster Commerce, I go into the application server console, can I use this exact database information to acquire a JDBC connection? Now, it's important that you're using your JDBC driver connection and that you're using all of the exact same information as you're using the data load. In some cases, you also come across a Java issue, missing classes. It's important that you have all of your JDBC information loaded up so then data load can use it and not just the application server files. Slide number 34, please. So another common data load problem is unexpected additional records or the same records loaded twice. Often this is caused by input data. If you've got an empty row that still has columns or missing components of a unique index are two very common causes of this problem. Now, you need to ensure that all of the components of a unique index are specified, particularly if you're loading a new piece of data and then you're updating it later on in that file. If you just loaded a new piece of data and you don't specify all the same input index data when you're updating it later in that file, data load will assume that this is actually a new record. Because obviously you won't already have the primary key, you need to have all the components of your input data. So if I was only specifying something like the part number and didn't have the member ID available for my cat entry noun, then data load is going to assume, okay, I'm going to use my default member ID, but then I'm also going to continue trying to create new records. And these new records will not always line up with what you're expecting to see. Make sure that you're using all of the components of your unique index, which you can find on your database tables or inside Webster Commerce schema declarations readily available in the Info Center. And if you've got additional entries that are completely blank, make sure that your input data doesn't have any blank rows that still have commas in them, as this is just it's something that wouldn't show up if you're using a CSV editor, something like Lotus Symphony or Microsoft Excel, but can still cause problems within data load. Slide number 35, please. another common data load problem. And this is one that's very specific, but it's something that almost every user will run into at some point in time. I've loaded my list price data, and I can't see them in Management Center. This is actually due to a list price migration that was that took place. I believe it took place in Future Pack 3, where we migrated from using the actual list price table to using the offers data model and then having a second trade position container for list prices. This can very easily be solved using the updated list price offer mediator. Now, because this is a piece of a feature pack update that took place, it was actually updated as part of feature pack code. Here's a sample loader file that includes the list price offer mediator, which can very easily be found and used to load in your updated list prices. If you're using the list price mediator and it does not have the word offer in it, chances are you're loading to the list price tables and you won't be seeing your data in Management Center. And so, of course, just update the mediator that you're using. It has almost the exact same declarations, and then rerun your data, and you should be seeing your list price data just fine. Slide number 36, please. Now, basic data load troubleshooting. When I'm going to sit down with a data load problem, I've kind of gone through, and it's not a problem that I've seen before, or I don't recognize the error. There are just a handful of questions that I'll be asking myself or I'll be asking my customer as to try to figure out what can we do to quickly and easily solve this problem. Slide number 37, please. Now, usually data load outputs very good error messages. I have a very good history of working with data load in terms of it'll output an error and it'll tell you why it's outputting that error. It'll say, here's an entry that I can't resolve in the database, or it'll say, this violates a unique key constraint. It's very rare that you'll get a generic data load error. Of course, missing fields, incorrect input data are very common issues, as well as database constraint issues, which we already mentioned are very easily solved by just checking a couple of your configuration files and correcting them to match the logical noun constraints. Slide number 38, please. Now, here are four questions that I'll ask with almost every data load PMR to figure out what's the problem with my data load. Does my data respect the data model? Can I verify each of the XPaths that I'm using with a simple file or with an InfoCenter document? Am I using the right mediator for my input data? And are there any mediator-specific options that I have not configured correctly? Slide number 39, please. Now, does my data respect the data model? On the InfoCenter, you'll very easily be able to see all of the data models that are available for WebSphere Commerce. Now, if you've got invalid information for the data model, you've got duplicate primary keys, duplicate entries, if you've got attributes, offers, or list prices, this can often occur where you're missing pieces of the unique key or the unique index. All of these things are very common areas to encounter issues with the data model. Inside the Information Center, there are very easily accessible data models that you can check to ensure that all of your data is respecting the relationships between different data in the database and ensuring that it's respecting how the data model is intended to work for that particular noun. Slide number 40, please. The next question that I'll ask is, can I verify each of the XPaths that I'm using with a sample or an InfoCenter document? This particularly comes up. I've seen a couple of users where I would like to load data for more than one catalog inside my catalog entry loader. I'd like to load data for more than one catalog for my attributes or more than one store within any of my loader files. And they'll declare an XPath, which they would assume looks very similar to an XPath that would be used for like the catalog information or the store information. It's important that you can verify that XPath against something, because XPaths are case sensitive. They're very sensitive to the different spellings and different nomenclature that's used. Some of the XPath information is very easily available and is documented on the InfoCenter, as well as all of your sample loader files. All of your samples are very easily usable to just say, can I find this in the sample? And if so, I'm just going to use that XPath directly out of the sample. XPaths are also typically very easy to read, so then you can understand what noun this is a part of and what information is loaded in through this XPath declaration. Slide number 41, please. The next question, is this the right mediator? and I cannot stress this enough, that samples are paramount in data load. Here are four locations for catalog upload loader files. Now, something that I've seen a lot of users say is, I can load this using Management Center, but I cannot load it using data load. And all that I'll do is I'll just go into Management Center and I'll pull out the loader file for them. The exact same loader file that's going to be declared when they load it using Management Center, and I'll send it to them. And I'll say, this is the loader file that you're using. You know, load it up in data load and it should work great. These pre-configured files are very easy to use, very easy to access, and it's something that I absolutely recommend users checking out when they're first getting into data load, is this is what a well-configured loader file looks like inside the Management Center architecture. Now, obviously, some of the business context declarations are going to be a little bit different, but the basic data load structure is already there and already set up. Slide number 42, please. And then the final question that I'll ask is, are there mediator-specific options that are not set in a way that I would expect for this type of data or for this load? A lot of the time, this will throw a mediator-specific error, but sometimes it'll just throw a more generic error, and then you'll have to do a little bit of digging. Now, once again, sample files. Are there sample files available for this mediator, or is there any mediator-specific documentation available on the Info Center? Almost all of our data load mediators do have a publicly available API, so then you can check and say, are there custom declarations, and can I do anything about changing these mediator-specific options? Slide number 43, please. And then I'd like to share, for the last part of this presentation, some links and file locations that I've used very commonly in data load for troubleshooting data load problems and for ensuring that the information that I'm looking at matches what I'm expecting to see for data load, because obviously data load is a fairly varied piece of the product. Slide number 44, please. Here is a list of all of the samples directories, as well as all of the catalog load loader files that I've come across in data load. If you're looking to load a particular piece of information, chances are there's not only a loader file declared for it, but there's actually more than one. Some of them are configured differently, so you can compare two different loader files, or you can compare any information that's being used within these loader files. And I know that especially the catalog upload loader files are an absolutely invaluable resource for data load. Slide number 45, please. As well, here are four links that I'll go back to time and time again for my data load information. Data load performance tuning is a document that we put out fairly recently, so if you haven't checked the Info Center recently, definitely go and check out this link. It includes information on how to tune a typical daily data load, or if you're having issues with a previous data load, how to set that up so that then you can improve the performance. This can also be useful for things like an initial load. There's also the data load overview. We've very recently updated this document, and we're still working at making it always better for the presentation of data load information, as well as table object mediator information and CSV reader configuration options. Slide number 46, please. So, in summary, we just covered all of the basic configuration files that are available for data load and some of the basic config options that are presented in each file, as well as what are some very common errors and what are some very simple steps to remove these common errors of data load. Slide number 47, please. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Valerie Thomas to take us out.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for a great presentation. This slide includes links of a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. So please just take a look at some of these links. My notifications actually signed you up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. And also you can look at Developer Works for in-depth technical information. This concludes the presentation portion for today's session. Finally, remember to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with subject WSTE subscribe. Once you get the mailing list, you can subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. We welcome any ideas you may have. I am moving on to the question and answer session now.
Is there any out-of-the-box support from DataLoad for loading contracts and accounts to support B2B sites?
I will just take a quick look. I don't believe that there is out-of-the-box, but
okay.
I'm just going to check one of the samples directories for that.
Yeah, I looked around quite a bit and didn't see anything.
Yeah, if you can't readily find a sample,
okay.
I would say probably not. The catalog up or the table data loader can typically be configured for any of that type of data that you'd like to load.
Right. I mean, the only thing with that is the relationships and having to figure out all of the related tables and that kind of stuff to do the straight table loader. But that's cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Not a problem.
I do not have any additional questions, and I do not see any in the group chat or on the all chat. Giving you time for an additional question, I have another slide. I would like to ask you to please join the Industry Solutions Client Success Essentials community. This new community is intended as one site with all of the support links you need. It brings together users of IBM software to share, collaborate, and connect with each other virtually and socially. In this community, you'll find training videos, upcoming events, blogs, important web links, and more. Again, this community provides a single site for you to easily find support information regardless of where it's located, highlighting specific programs of interest to you. I still see that we have no additional questions either on the line or in the group chat. So at this time, we will conclude the webcast. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange website. Remember, within a few days, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site. Thank you. This concludes the webcast. You may disconnect now.